I love this basic question from Gabrielle. Why do I have to go to church?
Well, first of all, it's not a have to. The Bible says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And so we go to church to learn, to be in corporate worship, to be accountable to somebody. It's good if you're committed to something and you don't show up for 4 or 5 weeks to have somebody, a close enough relationship, right, that's going to call and say, hey, you okay? Haven't seen you lately. And it's good to be together with other people that are like-minded like you are. If you're trying to have a relationship with God and you're always around people that don't really believe in God, they can't challenge you, they can't encourage you. It's amazing what we learn sometimes just from being around somebody else that's maybe got a little more spiritual growth than us.
Right.
That can become a sermon just in itself. But I think if people look at it like I have to, then they're never going to want to do it. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I think a lot of times we think, well, I have to go to church or God's not going to be happy. I have to go to church to get a what I call a check mark on my God calendar. But really, we go for us. It's not like we're going. Yes, it shows respect to God when we go, but it's just important to be in fellowship with other people. And, you know, you mentioned when we started that this was for new believers, or it might be for someone who knew a new believer. But to be honest, Ginger, I think sometimes people have been trying to walk with God for a long time. They've missed some of the basics.
Yeah, very true.
You know, and so they need, we never.
Or have drifted away from
them. Yeah, we never should think that something is too elementary for us or too basic for us, because anytime you have a crack in your foundation, the rest of the building is not going to be stable.
That's right. Or something leaks out that you need,
right,
so that's never good either. All right, this one asks, how do I listen to His will for me?
Well, that's probably one of the biggest questions that everybody has.
Yeah.
Is what, you know, I just had somebody.
Yeah,
I just had somebody that I'm close to had heard me talking about our assignment from God, and it was actually one of my grandchildren, and she said, well, how do I know what my assignment is? And she's at an age now where she'll be graduating from high school before too long and trying to make decisions about what she wants to do with her future. So I just talked her through a few things, and I started by asking her, what do you like? What do you enjoy?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that God is going to make us spend our whole life doing something that we really just despise. Now, that doesn't mean that you're never going to have to do things that you don't like, but anybody who's working at a job where they just hate it every day of their life, they're probably not in the right place for them. You're never going to know the will of God if you don't know the Word of God. So as a new believer, it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time to learn how to hear from God. You know, one great man of God was asked, how do I learn to hear from God? And he said, you make mistakes. And so we have to understand that God loves us. And as long as our heart's right, He's not going to get mad at us if we think something is His will and it turns out not to be. The thing that I always encourage people is if you take a step and it's not working, and by that you find out, well, that must have not been God, you don't have to be condemned, you don't have to feel guilty.
Right.
But one of the ways you're going to find the will of God for your life is by trying some stuff. You know, I teasingly say all the time, but it really did teach me. When I first started wanting to be used by God, like really wanting God to use me and wanted to serve God, I tried working in the nursery at church, and it didn't take me or the kids long to find out that wasn't my call. I tried street evangelism, going out and passing out gospel tracts on the street and talking to people, because there was a team at my church that did that. I didn't like it. I tried door-to-door evangelism. I didn't like that. But when I started to teach, then I knew that I had found my niche. And so sometimes you just have to try some things. You got to put your hand to some things and see if they fit. The thing I told her is, I said, we all know what it feels like to have on clothes that don't fit properly. Maybe something that's way too tight or even something that's too big. You know, I can't stand to wear a pair of pants that keeps falling down and I'm all the time pulling them up. And so we need to find what seems to fit for our life. What are you good at? You know, God's not going to call you to do something that you're constantly failing at. So what are you good at? What do you enjoy? What do you like?
Because he gives us those desires and those abilities.
Right.
So it's all in his hands. I think that's what, especially as a new believer, and maybe after we've walked with Christ for a long time, that's something that really helps for us to realize is he's not an arbitrary God. He has a good plan that he brings all together in many ways.
Yeah, that's right. So people, I think, worry too much about what is God's will. I think that you pray about it, you ask God to lead you, and then the last thing I'll say about it is pay attention to what kind of doors God opens. You know, I mean, if I think God wants me to do something, but the door never opens for it, then maybe I need to look somewhere else. I mean, I tried to learn how to play the guitar because I thought leading worship would be great. Well, it just didn't work. I mean, I couldn't learn it. It wasn't good at it. My voice wasn't good for singing, and so you just got to take your time, and as a new believer, you'll learn, you'll know. Mm-hmm.
But don't give up when it doesn't work. I like that encouragement. All right, next question is, how do I fall in love with Jesus, and how can I receive his love?
Well, I think the way that you fall in love with Jesus is by seeing his love in your life. And I think one of the things that we can actually do that is very practical, but it's very good, is to look for God's love in your life. In 1 John 4:16, it says we are to be conscious and aware of God's love. And so I learned a long time ago I watch for God's love in my life, and it actually usually shows up in a lot of little ways.
What are some examples?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of them are real personal things, like, you know, maybe something that, you know, I remember one time I just happened to say to somebody, I love zucchini bread. I wish somebody would bake me some zucchini bread because I wasn't that good at baking. And it was only a few days later and somebody showed up at one of my meetings and said, I felt like God wanted me to bake you some zucchini bread.
Yeah.
Well, see, it wasn't really even the bread so much as it was that I knew that God did that for
me. Exactly, yeah.
And are giving you favor when you're out shopping and maybe, you know, the clerk will say, oh, we've got a sale starting tomorrow, but I'll give you this coupon ahead of time. So there's all kinds of ways. Are God comforting us or giving us a revelation or showing us something or making something happen for us? If you watch for God's love and his mercy and his goodness in your life, then the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And so receiving God's love is a matter of believing that he loves you. I don't know how many people are actually familiar with this, but if you look up the definition, the word receive means to believe, and the word believe means to receive. So when we really believe what the word says, that's how we receive it. And you can't receive it if you don't believe it.
Yeah.
So once again, we go back to my pet subject, study the word. And a lot of people think they can't do that, but there are many, many, many translations of the Bible today that are very easy to read. I use the Amplified Bible, but there's all kinds of modern English versions that will help you understand what God's trying to say to you.
Yeah. I think God has created us all in so many different wonderful ways, and he knows that so distinctly that he gives us that specific thing that we need to recognize his love. For me, it's I love being out in nature and just seeing his hand and the creativity and the beauty, and that draws me to him so much. So he has a way to pull us in. All right, then along those lines, but a little different, how can I just believe that I have the Holy Spirit with me?
Well, the Bible says if you ask, you will receive. It says, I think it's in Luke 11, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so, like everything else, we receive by faith. And really, the Holy Spirit, you can't even really learn anything if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life because he's our teacher. So every time you're hearing a sermon, you like really get it. You know, that's an evidence that the Holy Spirit is in your life. He convicts us of sin. You know, anytime that you start to do something or like, for example, if I'm starting to say something or I'm in the middle of saying something and I realize, oh, shouldn't be doing that, that's the Holy Spirit convicting me. You know, it's not, now condemnation is from the devil, but if you just get a sensing, just a gentle, even loving sensing, don't do that.
So the difference in the two is you feel more guilty
Well, which condemnation is not from God. Makes you feel pressed down.
Okay.
It's like you feel bad, you feel guilty, you feel condemned. It makes you feel bad about yourself and it puts a heaviness on you. But conviction actually lets you know that what you're doing is not right and that with God's help you can change it, but it doesn't make you feel oppressed. It's like I was thinking this morning, the Bible says that those whom God loves, He tells their faults to. He convicts them and reproves them, and that we should be enthusiastic about it when God shows us our faults. And so I can remember years ago when I would have an awareness that I was doing something wrong, I would just think, not another thing, you know, God is everything, and grumbling. And I realize now the worst thing that God could do would be leave us alone in our sin and not convict us of it.
Yeah.
So He's our comforter, He's our teacher, He guides us through life, He shows us what to do, He gives us direction, but you believe it. You know, everything from God comes through believing it. It's not by feeling it. I mean, even faith itself, it's the evidence of things you don't see. It's the evidence of things you don't feel, and it just operates in your heart.
So as those things are active and happening in your life, and especially as a new believer, sometimes we were able to do something for a long, long time, and then all of a sudden we begin to feel convicted.
That's right.
Something's different in your life, and that's the Holy Spirit working.
And I have to say that the longer you walk with God, the more of that you may experience in your life. I feel sometimes that my path gets narrower and narrower and narrower. And that's because God continues to make us more and more like Christ.
Yeah.
And it's not that you can't do anything. It's not a matter of, now I can never do anything. It's just that what you want to do changes.
Yeah.
And how you want to behave changes.
And narrower becomes better.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. Well, today we have an offer for you that will help. And as a new believer or as an experienced believer, this will help strengthen your relationship with Jesus. Free teachings called Unleashing the Power of Faith. And this is exactly what Joyce was just talking about. It's believing. It's where does that faith come from? And it's really the foundation that will help that walk with Christ as a new believer and cement it as a believer for many years. And then Joyce's book called Never Give Up. This book is a great encouragement. A lot of new endeavors in people's lives, new ministries. Many people have experienced great change in their life coming out of this book. And if there's been something in your life that you've been walking through and you just maybe haven't seen the answer yet, or you're just not sure if you're gonna make it, pick this up because this will give you the encouragement that you need to keep going. And we have both of these available for you today. All you need to do is act right now. Call the phone number on your screen, go to the website, don't delay. And Joyce, I know you would encourage people, now's the time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't change without the Word. You can't change yourself. Only the Word of God can change us. And there's nothing better to invest your money in than God's Word, because it never gets old. The longer it sits on your shelf, the better and the better it gets, because you can listen to those teachings on faith and they can mean one thing to you now, and you grow for a year or so in God and you listen to them and you hear things you didn't even hear the first time.